Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 117 of CJ Evolution. Patrick here. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for tuning in. So happy you're with me right now, listening. It's great. Without you, we wouldn't have this show. So thank you for the continued support. You know, we talk a lot about a lot of different issues on the show, leadership, mentorship, various police issues, all important. But I want to spend more time talking about the power of mindfulness. We have a great guest on, great overall human being. His name is Jeff Hotchkiss. He's the author of Putting Wisdom to Work. He is a consultant. He's done many things in the tech industry, and he's here with us today. Just a wonderful guy, and I hope you enjoy his valuable information on mindfulness. Here he is, the one and only Jeff Hotchkiss. Jeff Hotchkiss, welcome to the show, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Well, for those for those listeners who don't know who you are, sir, can you just give us a little bit of a background on yourself, like a bio? Who is Jeff?
A bio, yeah, sure. Who's Jeff? Well, I'm just a guy like anyone else who had a life and a career in progress. About 7 years ago, I moved down to the coast, Santa Cruz, California, out of Sacramento, and thought I would find work down here. Didn't find it, and started just digging into writing this book that had been in my head for a long time. So coming into that, I was an herb tea entrepreneur. I did some executive work for Apple Computer. You know, just had a pretty good career in marketing off and on, but just was still feeling kind of, you know, disconnected from myself. Mm-hmm. And not completely clear on what the meaning of life was. And so I dug into this book. It actually started as a memoir and really just turned into kind of a lessons learned from mistakes in life. And digging through the material, I learned a lot about just personal growth and self-awareness and really got a lot of value out of the material, took time to write it down, and here we are marketing a book now.
And we'll talk about the book in a little bit, but one of the principles behind the book, Jeff, is mindfulness, right?
It's all about mindfulness. Yeah. It really boils down to that, yes, sir.
Now, it's such a broad subject, mindfulness. I know I've talked about it on my show a lot in the past, but it's talked about a lot these days. What's your take on the subject?
Well, it is a broad subject. There's 1,000 definitions out there, but I kind of like to boil it down to that. You know, our life experience is processed in the mind, and mindfulness is the ability to draw on the wisdom and lessons learned to raise awareness and enhance the life experience, basically to make life better.
Now, how is
that's the short version.
Now, your book is Putting Wisdom to Work, correct? And how is Putting Wisdom to Work the material used to develop more of it when it comes to mindfulness?
Yeah, well, mindfulness, I believe, is kind of the intersection of acceptance and gratitude. Mm-hmm. And you've got to add awareness in there, because it just seems like life comes at us so fast these days, and we have so many preconceived notions that by staying aware, by using acceptance to stay present with what's really going on, and then really putting effort into generating an attitude of gratitude, you can have this mindful awareness that kind of steers you through situations. You know, there's just no one set of rules that's going to guide you through every situation. So mindfulness is something that you cultivate by staying aware, accepting situations, and then seeing what you can add to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, our listeners, my listeners, are criminal justice professionals. You know that, Jeff. And
yeah.
How can they employ mindfulness to stay calm even in stressful situations, because they're out there, you know, they're in stressful situations from the time they put a uniform on till the time they take it off when they're end of watch. So can you give us some examples of how we can employ this?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that preparing for our interview here. And I think the one word, if I had to boil it down to one idea, would be expectations. I've never been in law enforcement, but can only imagine the pressures that are involved and, you know, the rapidness that things come at you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mindfulness, personal policy, it all kind of leads back to what do you expect is going to happen? And I think in law enforcement, you're constantly hit with random things and stressful situations. So mindfulness gives you the ability to slow down. I know you don't probably have a lot of time to slow down, but you know, even in a blink of an eye, to take a deep breath and say, okay, what's going on here, and how can I guide or steer this situation based on what I expect is going to happen? It kind of boils down to those old cliches, you know, you get what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
And when you expect the worst, odds are you're going to subconsciously actually kind of, you know, direct that, make that mm-hmm. happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say in law enforcement, you know, going into situations and understanding with compassion that people are having challenges, people are stuck in situations, people are confused. If you can stay calm, and it's weird the way it works, but somehow when we project an aura of calmness and expect situations to work themselves out, they find a way of working themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure many of your listeners are laughing out loud right now. You know, it just doesn't go that way in the real world. But I would urge them to consider that as they become closer in touch with their own personal self, their own personal you know, wellness, mindfulness, they can steer those situations.
Uh-huh. Well, and it's interesting because I don't think a lot of them, some might be laughing, but I don't think a lot of them are, because I know exactly what you mean, and you're exactly right, Jeff, where, you know, we have to, yeah, sometimes, well, first of all, let me back up. Contrary to popular, if you I don't know if you might not know this, and other people not in law enforcement might know this, but 90% of the time we do have time on our side and we can slow things down. It's that very 10%, maybe 15% that you see on the news where all heck is breaking loose and we're, you know, cops are driving fast or kicking in doors. That's not the majority of the time in law enforcement. A lot of times, and I've been doing this 21 years, Jeff, we do have time on our side. And we can, now there are those times where we have to make quick act, you know, decisions, and but majority of the time we have time. So we can, going back to what you said, we can take our time and we can kind of evaluate the situation better. And, you know, we're talking, you know, the second part of that is what you said, which I agree with. We need to remain calm, because if I go into a situation and I'm amped up and agitated and, you know, and I project that, they're going to reciprocate, right? They're going to give it back, or they're going to shut down. So we tell officers, you know, at least in my department, I can't speak for other departments, but I imagine they kind of do the same thing, is, you know, you have to be calm. You have to approach this in a calm manner. Most of the time, sometimes you get, you know, other actions are warranted, but you got to approach it in a calm manner. That's when you're going to get compliance the majority of times, and that's when you're going to diffuse this, the situation. And there's kind of a joke, and you want to know, my listeners will really laugh about this because it's true. There's always that one officer that gets on a scene after officers there have calmed down the situation, then they amp it back up again.
Okay, kind of comes and brings it up, yeah.
Yeah, everything's calm, and there's that one officer who comes and kind of jacks thing up again. But yeah, you're exactly right. You know, people aren't laughing. I doubt they are, because it's very true.
Well, you know, one of the concepts I dig into in my book here is this, the idea of the unified field. Now, we're getting kind of into the la-la land here, but it seems to be proving itself true, especially through the research in quantum entanglement lately, where our minds are connected in a cosmic Wi-Fi, whatever you want to call it. So one person can make a huge difference either way. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those emotions, as you feel those things coming up, those are signals. You know, we're really hardwired for success. We're hardwired to be aware of ourselves and be aware of situations, but we use our learning and experience to override that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So as your listeners feel these urgency coming on, feeling, you know, agitated, feeling confused, that's a great signal to shift into your mindfulness mode and to draw on what I call personal policies. And I got to think, in the law enforcement field, there's just a ton of experience to draw from, case studies and situations that people have encountered that you can kind of put in your back pocket. And those are personal policies. They're things that have worked for you. There's things that have worked for other people that you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. As the situation starts to unfold, you can say, well, you know, what is my best course of action here? What have I learned is going to work, and how can I help steer this situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great advice, Jeff. And you probably know this, but early, about a year ago, I was surprised that, and you know this probably, that you know, professional sports teams are practicing mindfulness, and the U.S. military is practicing mindfulness, and they're engaging in these practices. So it really is out there for those of you listening. It's very applicable to any profession, you know, personally, professionally. It's very important.
Well, I think when you dig into it too, I even have a short list in there that I compiled from, you know, really quite famous and well-known people: Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, Warren Buffett, for that matter. All subscribe to some sort of mindfulness training. And I think when you try and crack that nut open a little bit, you'll see that there's a lot of ways to go about it. You're not going to get the definitive training in my book or any other book, but you know, when you start digging into it, you find what works for you. And I think it all kind of leads back to some form of meditation, Patrick.
Yeah.
You know, you do the work. We have these left brain, we have this right brain. You know, you do the work with your right brain, you get the information, you do the seminars, you read the books, but then you kind of got to go into this state where it turns from knowledge into knowingness, something that you just know is true.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you'll find every profession, every high achiever has some sort of mindfulness practice going in their life.
Mm-hmm. And I know I've talked about this before, Jeff, I used a meditation app, and I do it for 10 minutes every morning. Now I'm pretty good about doing it. I mean, I might skip a day or two once in a while, but I'm pretty good at, you know, just doing 10, because 10 minutes is really, I mean, I don't know if my attention can stay anywhere else for more than 10 minutes, but, it's great. And I feel so energized and refreshed, you know, after I do the meditation in the morning.
Well, you know, our minds are biocomputers, for that matter. And we're stuffing information into them all day long, our whole life. You got to take time to file and organize that information and then shift it into, like I say, knowingness.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I use the word practice a little bit earlier, too. And like you say, 10 minutes every day, it doesn't have to be a huge chunk of time or a big major commitment, but it does need to be something you do regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's hard, Jeff, for so many people to shift their mindset? I mean, to get, you know, just think a different way. I know we're all busy. We have our lives are very hectic sometimes. But me personally, I got to a point where I had to start doing things differently because I was just overloaded.
Yeah, me too.
And then when I started, and it wasn't all just meditation, although it helped, but it was, you know, just trying to change or just changing my outlook. And realizing that, you know, life isn't that bad. I mean, I actually am pretty lucky for who I am and where I'm at in my life. But why is it so hard for people to kind of, not that I'm perfect and I don't struggle with things, same as you, but why is it so hard for the masses to get that?
You know, when you break it down, it seems pretty simple. And like I said, I've taken years of studying it to break it down into these simple ideas. But it's just not taught in our society. It's just not something that stressed early childhood. I'm starting to see meditation and mindfulness programs in preschools now.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation, you know, we're taught to succeed, to make money, to accomplish things. Doesn't leave a lot of time for reflection and mm-hmm. introspection.
Yeah.
So I think it's simply a matter of we just haven't been given the tools and we haven't learned how to practice them and employ them in our daily living. And I just don't see... It's funny because I read a lot, I study a lot, but I don't see a lot of people breaking it down into like a how-to, a 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. easy meditation, easy mindfulness step. So I've really taken a lot of time putting some activities into my work here that help people break it down. And you know, I've gone through some really long Buddhist retreats lately, last mm-hmm. couple years, lots of really great teachers. And I'm finding there's 3 or 4 things you can do that typically are based on breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're trying to do is shut down that logical thinking for just a little bit. You might find this in a yoga class
mm-hmm.
where they talk to you about just becoming conscious of your breath. And there's some tricks you can use in counting or, you know, different ways to kind of take your mind off of your logical thought processes long enough. The mind will do the rest. And it's one of the funny things that I find myself struggling with as I try and get into a meditative state. And I try to solve problems. I'm like, okay, here's a problem I'm going to think about. I'm going to meditate on this problem. That's exactly the opposite of what you need to do.
Yeah.
And exactly the opposite of what we're trained to do.
Yeah.
We're trained, to solve problems. Our brains are built to solve problems. Even when things are going great, we will look for problems to solve.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say that it's not something we're trained to do. We haven't, you know, put it into practice in our daily lives. And when you look around my book and others, lots of techniques out there, you'll find that there's a couple of steps you can go through to kind of wind your brain down, go into a little bit of a state. And like you say, 10 to 15 minutes is plenty, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the app I use. I use Headspace, and there's others out there. I'm not a spokesman, but I use Headspace, and I know there's Calm and everything. But I just picked it one day, and I like it because it's like, you know, it's kind of like I got this, you know, English guy that's talking to me, and, you know, he's kind of guiding me through. But you're exactly right, Jeff. It's not about thinking and trying to solve problems. It's all about breathing. It's all about, you know, starting at the head and deep breaths. And, you know, it's just it's a guided meditation, which I like. And it's great. Like I said, it's wonderful. You know, it used to be, I was going to tell you, Jeff, it used to be, about a year ago when I was talking about meditation with, you know, people I work with, they're laughing at me. And then now that some of them aren't laughing anymore, you know, because it really has helped
right.
them. So.
Well, it boils down to wanting to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, if you boil it down, we all have these pressures on our lives. I think Headspace is a great place to start. They have a free introduction. I went through that. I actually subscribed for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying all the different apps. Really, whatever you can find to help you move towards your highest and best self is the great step.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about breathing. Yeah. Is there any other steps you can recommend our listeners they can do today if they're, you know, feeling like crud, you know, kind of to upgrade their thinking and feel better? Any other suggestions, Jeff?
There's a ton of them. Some of the best ones I've gotten through. Different practices that I've taken classes with. You know, we're talking about turning off the logical mind, and it's really hard to do. You know, they say you can't solve a problem with the tool that created the problem. So, you know, you can't think your way out of this problem. But simply counting, you know, becoming aware of your breath and counting breath in, one, holding it. And this is a really key point, Patrick, that little space between the breath. Coming in, going out. That is the golden space right there. So you breathe in just a little bit, a nice full breath really, and count to one. That counting process takes your mind off of the thought process. Mm-hmm. One of the really interesting facts I came up with is we have about 60,000 thoughts per day that run through our minds. That's an average.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, that's a lot. So what we have to do is find a way to turn those off for just a second or two here and there. So by counting, you know, I guess the point I wanted to make was that of those 60,000 thoughts, we think we're thinking about 10 things at once. The brain scientists have determined that they're very linear. You're just shifting gears really, really fast. So you're having one thought after another really, really fast. So if you're able to use that counting technique, simply thinking about the breathing in. I'm breathing in. I'm counting to the number one. I'm going to hold that space for half a second or a second in between and just let that be silent. And then start the exhale, counting number two. You do that to 10 and stop, and then go back to one and back up to 10. Mm-hmm. I almost start all of my meditation practices with this because you have to do the turnaround at 10. You know, so you've got to keep your mind on one thing. That's, okay, I'm going to count to 10, and then I'm going to stop, and I'm going to turn around. That kind of blocks a lot of those random thoughts that are sneaking in, what to do, who to call, what's my problem, what's my finances, what's my whatever. Those get put on the shelf for a little while, and you get to this calm space. And shortly, you know, a couple of minutes into that, you can stop counting, just focus on the breath. And I can usually hold it for 10 minutes or so, like you say. And then you just come out of it. You feel like, what did I just do? Did I just waste 10 minutes? No, you allowed your brain to reorganize itself and put things in perspective and put things into place.
Wow. Amazing. So if people want to find your book, Jeff, Putting Wisdom to Work, where can they find it, sir?
Yeah, it's my website has a good preview on it. That's policypillars.com. And there's also several free, I call them companion activities that go along with the book. They're freebies on the website. You can download them. I've got a special set up right now where if you join the mailing list, it'll take you straight to the personal policy report card. Mm-hmm. So I've got this whole variety of things on there. But the personal policy report card is a great way to get started because it's just a five-minute thing, a little checklist thing. You can go and say, how are my personal policies stacking up? And maybe where can I turn for some guidance? Because we have a natural tendency to focus on what we're strong, on areas that we're good and doing well, and we tend to ignore the things that are missing. But you really need to kind of take care of all those pillars I talk about. The pillars are health, relationships, resources, creativity, and fun. And responsibility, of course, is in there. So, yeah, policypillars.com is a great place to get some of the free activities, read about the book, then, of course, on Amazon. Putting Wisdom to Work, the subtitle is Practical Mindfulness for Maximal Living.
Excellent. What about social media, Jeff? You on social media? You want to give a plug out there?
I could do better with that, Patrick. Yeah, there's a little Facebook page on there, and and it's right off the Policy Pillars website.
Cool.
I'm doing a little bit with that, but it's mostly just on the website.
Well, cool. And I will have that website linked up at the show notes, so keep an eye out for that. Jeff Hotchkiss, thank you, sir, for taking the time to come on the show today. And you're doing great work, sir. Thank you.
Patrick, it's been great to talk with you, and I hope all your listeners get a little something out of this, and good luck with all of their activities.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.